Welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. And the topic we are discussing today is so very important at this time in life. I mean, we need to start having powerful discussions on inclusion. There's an awakening going on, many awakenings going on, and really, it's happening to bring light into the places where we've fallen short as a country and as a community in honoring all people. The time has come that everyone needs to have their voices heard, and they need to be respected for their own individuality and perspective. This week, educator, coach, speaker, and inclusion strategist Rachel Rosen joined me on the show. Rachel's on a mission to start a global conversation about inclusion, empathy, and racial equity. With a master's from Stanford and extensive training in leadership, coaching, and team building and organizational development, she supports leaders and teams to unleash their potential to facilitate powerful experiences, collaborate, and build trust, all in the service of building a better tomorrow. On today's episode, Rachel shares about the blind spots that we can't see within ourselves, how we can connect and find commonality, and how our education systems and business cultures can transform. So with no further ado, the lovely Rachel Rosen. Hey, Rachel, so excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and you and I met through a group, and I just, from the time I met you, you just felt great. Like, you know how you just connect with someone's energy and you just go, I like her. And so, so I've been excited to have this conversation. And I think that what you do and your message is just so critically important to where we are in our evolution today. So can you share a little bit about you know, why this is your mission and why you are so passionate about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so do you want, am I assuming that people know what my mission is?
Or Yes. we'll have an intro that talks about it, but you can just share how you came up to, you know what I mean, to doing this work and why it's so important, because I know it's so deeply important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the short of it is I'm on a mission, a very strong mission, to start a global conversation about inclusion and empathy and racial equity. And I can share more about what that means. But after 12 years working in education and supporting leaders, I was a teacher, a school leader, and a facilitator and a coach. Something that became really clear to me a couple years ago was that what I do is beyond the walls of education now, given the social political landscape. And this work is very personal for me. My my partner is an amazing human being. Her name is Leah, and she is an African-American woman. And something that is true for us in our story is it sparks a lot of conversation, and we get a lot of attention because of just who we are and how the universe kind of placed our love on the map. And so, you know, within 1 week, I think this kind of like highlights and amplifies why I do what I do, because on the, in the very same week, last summer, two different people in my community shared with me, one person said, you know, if you came to my town, you would be seen as a walking trigger. And that's a quote. You know, you and your partner would not be seen as anything other than a trigger, because it represents a lot of kind of confusion for a lot of people. And in the very same week, on the flip side in Oakland, California, somebody said, you know what, you two are right on. Your love is a revolutionary act. Keep shining, keep loving out loud. The world needs more of your love, you know? And so that's why I do what I do. You know, I walk that line with as much intentionality as I can, and with a commitment to speak up in hopes that other folks out there feel like their story matters, because everybody's story matters.
I love it. It's so beautiful. And, you know, I love that you shared the dichotomy of people's reactions, right? Because what this is really about when we talk about inclusion is you have people that come from such different places, right? And different points of view. And how do we all open up, right, in a bigger way to including everybody? And I wanted you to share a little bit about the ways that people might might be speaking in a way that makes people feel not included and might not even recognize that they're doing that, because I think that that happens a lot.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I think another part of my story, right, is that I am a white woman. I grew up in Texas. I live in Austin right now. And I have my whole life kind of struggled with this idea of fitting into someone else's box. I was raised kind of conditioned to put on a happy face and avoid conflict and kind of be a people pleaser, whether I knew it or not. Like, these are the messages that I was getting. And I think the more I share my story, the more I find that other people have that same experience, especially women, right? Kind of not having the muscle to have hard conversations or courageous or conflicting conversations. And so what I find, and what I've dedicated my work to doing, you know, these past 6-7 years or so, ever since getting my master's, is really listening to people and hearing that we all have blind spots, right? We all have, given who we are, brain science backs up all the research that I offer, which is that we're wired and we all have unconscious biases given what our upbringing was. And so if we haven't had exposure to a lot of diversity or different perspectives or kind of uncomfortable conversations, is what some people call them, then we don't have that muscle, right? And so therefore we have blind spots. And so that's why I really lean into this conversation, because I've been on the other side. Like, I have been the person who's avoided conflict. I've been the person who has struggled with showing up and sharing my why and talking about my racial identity. Like, that was me 6 years ago, with shaky hands and sweaty palms and like nervous butterflies in my stomach to talk about my racial identity, my commitment to equity, because we definitely, what I know to be true, what I found growing up in Texas, what I found working in education with some of the most brilliant educators and scholars and leaders, parents and students, is that we all have something that we care about. We all are somebody's child. Everybody. That's what we have in common. And so if we can give ourselves permission to really see that we're all struggling, we all have victories, we all have challenges, and we all have stories, then I think we can really get somewhere. And I've seen it in action. So that's why I feel so strongly about it. I've watched communities, I've seen leaders kind of open up their eyes, or what I call wake up to the layers of their biases, and then have a commitment to do something about it, you know?
I love that. And you created these cards, right? I know Spark is a lot about your brand, Spark for Humanity. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what's the intention of the cards and how do people use them?
Yeah. Yeah. So Spark Community is a card game, and you can, for folks who are listening, we'll give them a free download so they can actually print and play their own game. But it is intentionally designed to facilitate and like spark connections and conversations in ways that allow everybody to share a part of their story, you know, because I walk through this world with the textures of my identity, my sexuality, everything else. I notice, you know, I'm also the youngest child. So I'm a very, like, I have a sharp observer lens. Like, I really watch when people lean in and when people don't. And I've been on a mission to help people kind of come together, break bread. I've seen my partner and her family, my family. We've had these moments, I think, of, it's sometimes awkwardness, like where you're trying to get to know somebody of a different culture and you don't necessarily have the commonalities. What I find that really helps us is if we have structure, if we have an activity that we're doing, then it's like, oh, right, here's this game. Let's use the cards. The cards are, it's kind of like apples to apples or go fish or something like that, where everybody gets a hand of cards. And then there's a card that sparks a conversation. You know, an example of a red card that might be pulled, which are called sparker cards, is they might say, you know, the title of my first album or book will be blank, you know? And then all the participants who are igniters, they look at their hand and they have 9 cards in their hand, and they see like metaphors and common experiences across all cultures that we all kind of have. Like, we've all had perhaps like we've all experienced ice cream melting down our hand or something like that. We've all seen, we've all like tripped on a, you know, rock. We've all seen somebody with put toilet paper underneath their shoe. And like, we've all had these moments, and I've always been drawn to finding those human experiences that bring us together and then allowing us some joy, some humor, because we need, when we're in moments of like, okay, newness, when we have new experiences, humor really helps. It's brain science backs it up, but like just at the core, I think we're all craving more laughter, more liberatory experiences. And that, that was my intention in designing this special structure of the game.
I love it. And so I know there's a lot of, when people feel uncomfortable, like that's why I love the card game, because it's just giving people a way to laugh and have fun and come together when maybe they don't, you know, they don't know each other yet. Or, and some people really have a hard time, right, with meeting new people and integrating themselves, even if they aren't culturally different. Like that just is uncomfortable for some people. And so it's a really cool thing. But I was wondering, like, from a standpoint of leadership, because I know you talk about really talking to how you step into leadership with inclusion, and what is it that you, because we were talking before we came on here about a program that you do to help people. And I think a lot of times when people feel uncomfortable and they don't want to, you know, maybe they're tiptoeing around not offending someone, that can be uncomfortable too. And people don't know what to say and they don't know how to relate to people that have different experiences. So do you talk a lot about that in this program that you've created?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So basically what happened was, this is great. So over the years, the card game started in 2016. Really, I have to say, like, it sounds a little bit cheesy, but it was an accident. Like, I really did not intend for it to take off in the way that it did. It was June of 2016. I threw up this idea on Kickstarter. At the time, I was working for an amazing organization doing nonprofit educational work in schools, the National Equity Project. They do racial equity work in schools, supporting leaders and facilitating deliberate dialogue and discourse about this very thing that we're talking about, right? Specifically for school teachers and leaders. And so what I found, the more districts that I was supporting, the more I realized this is what's happening is adults having challenges addressing some of our own biases and fumbling and learning in public. Our adult stuff is getting in the way of kids getting a quality learning experience. You know, I witnessed it time and time again. I've facilitated thousands of conferences and supported, coached hundreds of leaders. And at this point, I've seen that adults, we've got work to do, you know, like we don't get to push fast forward on our learning when it comes to this work. And so when I threw up the card game idea on Kickstarter as a campaign idea, I did not think that we were going to raise $4,000. I just didn't think, I threw up that number. I put it out there, but then lo and behold, the community at that time, we were at a particular juncture in where we were as a country. And so we raised all that money. And then I made a commitment to hosting an event every month that was a Spark event. Cause I said, like, look, I don't have it all figured out. I'm committing to learning in public. Like, I put up this idea, you all supported it. So now you're with me, right? So we created a Facebook group and I said, all right, we're going to do a monthly prototype party where I'll buy food and beverages and we'll just play and you guys will offer feedback. And so after every experience, people would come up to me afterward and say, you have a particular skill set in designing and facilitating experiences to really make everybody feel really valued and seen and heard. And I was like, oh, well, that's because I've had the best mentors on the planet. Like I've been a learner. I didn't know that. I've always been watching people a couple steps ahead of me, and I've had the blessing to have my own leadership coaches that have helped me. So at that point I was like, huh. And they said, you should track this, you know, people outside of education who don't necessarily get help from your organization would love to learn about what you do too. So could you put something together? Someone said, like, you should do a webinar. And I thought, okay, I could do that. Sure. So I put together the Spark framework, which was, it coincides with the Spark acronym, which is really the secret sauce for the game. There are these shared agreements and kind of ways of being that I really zoomed in and realized, like, all right, if I had to say five things that this game, the reason the game is so special and the reason that people facilitating the game do it so well is because they do these five things with authenticity and with intentionality. And so the S stands for show up authentically, just stay at the table, right? Especially when it gets uncomfortable. The P stands for pause. And that really pertains to listening deeply. The A stands for ask, and asking the right question, you can open up a world of possibilities, which is what the game is all about. The R stands for respect diversity, right? So really, each person has a different definition of respect, but really respect is at the core of the game, like assuming that we're all equals in the human experience. And then the K stands for kindly conflict, you know, kindly, it's okay to have tension. Be kind both with yourself and each other if conflict comes up, right? And so then I created that framework and people were like, all right, we want more. Do you do one-on-one coaching? Do you do courses? And I thought, well, I guess I could put together a beta course. So I put together a beta course for people who were interested in deepening their work. And we did a, that was last summer. Yeah, it was June of 2017. And so then it's now we're about to, we're in our third cohort and I do one-on-one deep dive executive coaching around exactly the SPARK acronym, which really comes down to like, I love supporting people with communication. Communication is my jam, whether it's communicating with emotional intelligence, communicating with social intelligence, integrating all the research that I was fortunate and privileged to have had at Stanford to like, to this day, I still can't believe that I got into that program, but that's another story. All the research that I have at my disposal, I realized that it needs to be more user-friendly. Like there need to be more opportunities for people to really dig in and better understand what does it mean to communicate with awareness of my blind spots. So I created a framework that helps leaders really, really deconstruct their leadership philosophy in a way that feels like it's really guided by their priorities, their biggest visions. And then we go through like, how do we become more emotionally intelligent? Which means like, how do we actually be more self-aware? How do we navigate conflict and change with more grace? How do we build community with intentionality and facilitate our own learning experiences? So we engage in for 10 weeks around these topics. And then folks come out of that experience with their own leadership philosophy and a theory of action, you know, around what their leadership kind of spark really means and how it's going to live on beyond the program.
That's awesome. And I'm thinking like, so you mentioned communication and are there like one or two areas that you can just briefly talk about where you see that in adults communication breaks down, like meaning where are people, and you mentioned blind spots too, so I'm sure that's one area where we just don't mm-hmm. see things about the way we're communicating, but mm-hmm. what is it for you where people need to be more aware in communication?
Yeah. So one, the thing that I hear most is avoiding conflict, you know? So people who have, a lot of us have been conditioned to, I would say us as in, I'll take that back. A lot of women leaders have told me that their experience, similar to mine, is that conflict is bad. And so we have to unpack, like, what does it mean if you really love someone and support them and really believe in their learning, growth, and development, then how do we become leaders that actually are in such deep relationship that we're, it, how we offer feedback is holding up the mirror with love, you know? And there's a lot underneath that, but I would say the first one is conflict, becoming way more comfortable with conflict. The second one is being more direct. A lot of folks have, in my experience, have not had a lot of practice with being direct about how they basically feel and understand their story when it comes to race and gender and privilege and blind spots. It's not an area of comfort. And so from one-on-one conversations to group conversations, I coach a lot of leaders to really hone their message and communicate their why so that it's received well, if that makes sense. And then the third
thing makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then the third thing I think is just like being aware of what I call the intention gap. This intentionality is a big word in my program because a lot of us are moving so fast that we are not present, and like we don't allow ourselves to just take a quick deep breath before we process the information that someone's sharing with us. And so rather than be reactive leaders, we talk about what it means to be a responsive communicator. So don't react, respond, and think before, right? So that we can kind of both communicate with intentionality. Like what do I really want the person across from me to walk away with an understanding of, like, what's my intention here? I think it's not, we sometimes hear about that in the health arena, but not as much in the communication arena. And so I'm on a mission to help people pause for just a second to really think about before I react or defend or respond, like, let me just pause real quick and work on my listening.
Yeah, that's really powerful. So if you were going to, I ask four questions at the end of every episode. And before we do that, I just want to give people the opportunity to find out more about your work. And I know you mentioned a download for the cards. Anywhere that we can connect with you, like social media or website or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I will have all the links below for the Facebook group. I facilitate a Facebook group. We're over 250 members now, and it's all with the intention of engaging around this exact topic. And the theme of the group is Dare to Be Brave and Use Your Voice to Elevate Others with Integrity. And so that's an awesome group. That community is really fantastic. Another thing, I do have some space, not a ton, but I have some space every so often, like each quarter, I have one or two spots open up for working with me in a one-on-one capacity if people are looking for really deepening their leadership and want intensive support. And then the upcoming leadership course is the big 10-week course is going to be in September, but I offer quite a few mini courses every couple months. And so they can find all that on one of these two websites. One is Rachel V as in Victor Rosen. So rachelvrosen.com. That's my personal website that has a little bit more about me and what I've got going on. And if they're looking for a speaker to host a speaking kind of facilitate a dialogue, really, to host a conversation about blind spots or any of what I've mentioned here, I'll do workshops and keynotes all the time. And then lastly, the leadership course website is Spark, and then the number 4, leadership.com. So spark4leadership.com, and that's where more about my programs can be found there.
Oh, I love that. So many great resources. And it's really cool. I love that you talked about your group too, because people can probably go right there and get right in the conversation and just grow with you from there, which is really cool. So at the end of every conversation I have for this show, I ask 4 questions, and the 4 questions are based on my proprietary process that I take people through in the work that I do. And what's really cool is that now that we've done so many different episodes, I always get different answers to these 4 questions, and all of them are incredible and authentic and heartfelt. And since we don't tell you the questions ahead of time, you know, whatever rolls out is perfect and great and usually has so much wisdom attached to it. So with that being said, the first question is about truth. And I believe that truth heals. And I think that when we get to the truth within ourselves and when we get to the truth within a community or within our world, there's a lot of healing that goes with that. So what is the truth that you have found within yourself that kind of changed or shifted your life?
That's a good question. I would say that my story and your story and everyone's story is their vehicle for making the change that they want to see in the world. You know, I think our stories are our most powerful vehicles for really igniting the shifts that we want to see in the world. I've seen it. All my fears have been overcome because I've had, you know, when you choose to be brave and dare to kind of really share your story and to get vulnerable, people lean in. You know, it's scary as hell, but they always lean in, and there's something that's just so powerful about, especially cross-cultural connection, cross-gender, cross-sexuality. Like, that's the one thing that no one can take away from you. No one can take your story and your experience from you.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And being able to tell your story is being able to speak your truth, right? And tell, you know, the truth of what your life experience is, which always, like you said, has people lean in and always has people, I say the truth, you know, I say it all the time and it's like you hear it, but it's really that the truth sets you free. Like, yeah. Because, and then what's interesting is when you tell the truth, then you inspire other people to tell the truth too. And that's what you're doing in your work that's so beautiful. And what we're all kind of moving towards is like giving people an example of like, yeah, it's okay. It's safe. You know, that's you can do this and you then will help other people do it as well. And that's the ripple effect of change that I think we all want to see. And the second pillar of the process is called release. And there's something really powerful that happens. Like when we start to really tell our story, like for the example that you gave, mm-hmm. there's always something that has to be released for us to do that, right? So like we come upon this truth and we're like, okay, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And then there's things that either, you know, it's belief systems or negative mindsets or fears or whatever that has to be released to allow mm-hmm. us to really lean in. So what did you have to release to do the work that you're doing?
Whew, that's going to be a daily practice, girl. To be a real, to really be in this work, I believe, you know, if anybody who identifies as a leader, you know, we have to stay humble and be learners too. That's really important. So the first thing I always do every morning, no matter who's called me or who I get to interview with or wherever I get to go, is to release any ego, you know, any attachment to like the status or anything else. Like just to be human is number one. Number two is releasing the shoulds, releasing what everybody else says and, you know, the inner dialogue says I should be doing this or people say I should be doing this. No, like to really be a game changer and innovator and someone who is paving a pathway, we have to let go of shoulds. And I think there are so many other layers that I work on every day to kind of release in order to receive and expand. It'll be a daily, it's going to be a life practice to do this work. But yeah. I appreciate the question very much. And I would say those are two things that come to the top of my mind.
I love that. And those are beautiful answers. And I think the part that when you said, you know, releasing ego, which by the way, no one said on the show yet. I mean, there's always beautiful words of wisdom that come through. I'm telling you, it is, it's being in our humanity, like you said, you know, all the time and staying grounded in that. And that's where that connection happens. And I just think that's wisdom right there. Mm. Because when the ego takes over, you know what I mean? All kinds of stuff, it takes you in all kinds of different directions you don't really want to go. And I love that you say that it's a forever daily practice, right? Of staying grounded in what is true and in the humanity and the connection. And that's where all the magic happens. And so I think that's super powerful. The third step is called experience. And something really powerful happens between release and experience. And it's, I call it the gap. But it's kind of like a clearing that happens before when we are able to release the stuff that has held us back from speaking our truth and living in our truth, there's this opening that happens. And in that opening is the zero point of creation, right? It's where anything can be created from the truth of our story, from releasing all the reasons why we hold ourselves back or we get off course or we, you know, are not aligned with our purpose. Mm-hmm. And there's this opening. And so experience is really about leaning in, like you call it, and heeding the call that's coming to you. So in your life, you know, what has it meant to kind of step away from your fears? And what are you experiencing now that maybe 6 years ago, like you said, you weren't experiencing in your life?
That's a great question. I think the most powerful thing and scary thing and liberating thing is to really stand in your truth day after day, and wake up and to share your story and to choose integrity, which means choosing courage over comfort, you know, choosing to walk your talk every single day, not because somebody says to do it, but because you have a moral compass that's guiding you to the north, you know? And I think for me, what I've found to be so liberating, I think liberating is the word, is when you choose to live there, right on the cliff, standing right up against all your fears, but continuing to grind anyway and continuing to stand firmly in alignment with your values, you're unstoppable. Like, you know, you get calls that are so humbling and honors that you get, you know, rewards. You hear from young people saying, you changed my life, your story, you know, you get these signals and signs every day from the universe saying, keep going, you know? And I think to live a life with the hopes of experiencing liberation is such a gift, you know? And my hope is that so more beautiful. People can do that so that we can have a better world.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I love the word liberation too, because it really is that. And the fourth step is, we've been talking around it, but the fourth step is called align. And you really kind of talked about it, where this alignment happens, where, you know, it's funny when we change our frequency, because I talk a lot about energy and frequency on the show. Mm-hmm. When we change our frequency, we change our reality. We change what we see outside of us by changing the energy within us. And therefore, mm-hmm. we invite in new people and new experiences and a whole new vantage point from which to live. And so to me, alignment is really like the glue that holds us in that space of being mm-hmm. right in alignment with our purpose, right in alignment with, and like you said, all the opportunities come, right? And people mm-hmm. come and chances to go do things. And so what has happened, maybe share, because I know you've had some exciting things recently, what that alignment has been for you in your life and what's been showing up?
Would you choose to take the leap of faith? You know, for me, when the leap of faith has happened three times in my life. One, when I left the previous relationship that I was in, which is a whole nother story, but that was a world of the floodgates opening up. And for the first time, I found my voice as a woman. The second experience was choosing my partner and choosing our relationship, choosing to love out loud. And the third one recently was choosing to quit my nonprofit and to go all in with Spark and to move to Texas and to go back to my roots and be in communities that really need me the most. That are requesting, like, I think that are in my most alignment right now. I think that's a little bit, yeah, that, who's to say that who needs me the most? Anyway, but the point is, what happened when I moved here, everything started falling into place. You know, when I took the leap of faith and I said, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, I'm not holding back anymore. You know, this is what my mission is. I'm going to scream it from the mountaintops, metaphorically, you know, something happened where, you know, every day I would either like, just feel the first sense, which is the most important sense, is our health, like in our well-being. And I know you care about that we have to be in alignment with what our body needs. And I've never felt so healthy before, you know. Secondly, request, you know, I got the honor and the privilege to speak and host an event for the Women's March community in San Jose, California, just recently. And that was such an honor to hold space for these folks. You know, the event, we had to move venues because so many people RSVP'd to talk about blind spots and privilege and intersectionality. That was my dream. Like I couldn't have imagined that would have been something that would have been brought to me as a request. To, you know, get requests from superintendents and school administrators to help facilitate workshops, to bring Spark as the team builder. You know, these things come to me at a totally different rate and at a different quality, I think, because I'm in such alignment with where I'm supposed to be, if that makes sense. I get to work with some of the most 100%. Brilliant clients. Like, I get to work with people who inspire me. That's such a gift, you know, such a gift. If you can't tell, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And I love your excitement, and you should be. And congratulations, you know, because it's really, because I feel energy so deeply. Like when I feel someone just, it's like almost a locking into alignment. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this door, it can go very fast, right? It's like this whoosh feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And you go, gosh, it's like all that struggle or feeling of hard or trying really hard or all of that is just things, you know, things are just a little out of alignment, right? Which is not a big deal. Like we all have those moments. Mm-hmm. But when you really kind of get that flow, it's almost like, you know, in racing, like drafting behind somebody, you know, it just kind of takes you with it. And that's, you know, the universe just lifting you up. And I think that you are going to continue to do great things. And I think that what you share with people is so critically important, and it comes from such a pure place, mm-hmm. from your own story and your own heart and your own life experience. And that's mm-hmm. just awesome. It's like gold. And so I just want to thank you for being here and thank you for sharing your wisdom and your gifts. I loved all of your answers, and they're all different than anything else we've heard, which is so cool.
Awesome.
And you just, you know, you just continue to shine the light, and I'll include all the links for all of our listeners to connect with you in all these beautiful ways.
Right on. Thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And thank you so much for inviting me into your circle. And thanks to all your listeners for taking the time to think, you know, about these complex topics. I know it's not easy to engage in these types of topics. So for folks who stayed all the way till the end, I see you and I appreciate you, you know, and I would love to stay connected. So please don't hesitate to reach out.
You're so beautiful. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Awesome. Thank you.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we talk about a new action each week to take to move closer to our intentions. So let's take a moment to visualize the world that you want to live in. And take out your journal. You want to write in your journal and paint the picture of what you would like the government to look like, the education system, how we treat our resources, how we treat other people, how businesses are created and how they're run. How do people parent their children? And what is the quality of romantic relationships? I mean, literally, if you could create the world as you wish, what does it look like? You see, intention is a powerful thing, and we should never underestimate the power of using our intention towards making the world a better place and a more loving place to be. I'll be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings, sending you lots of love and wishing you a great week ahead.